Our sermon text this morning is from the book of Romans, so let me encourage you, if you have your Bibles, to turn over there with me to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, and I want to read verses 1 through 12 of Romans 4. And I want to focus our attention this morning on the subject of baptism, and more particularly how baptism is related to justification. And so baptism and justification. Let's look at Romans chapter 4, and I'll begin the reading in verse 1. And before we hear God's word again, let's pray together. Our God and our Father, we give you thanks for revealing yourself to us in your works of creation and providence, and also through your special revelation, supremely in the person of Jesus Christ, your eternal Son, who for us and for our salvation became a man, laid down his life for us. And Father, we thank you for the revelation of the gospel in which the righteousness of Christ is fully revealed. We pray this morning as we hear this gospel proclaimed that you would produce faith in our hearts, nurture that faith, increase our faith, edify us, build us up, conform us to the image of Jesus Christ, we pray in his name. Amen. Romans chapter 4, and I'll be reading from verse 1 to 12. What then shall we say was gained by Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh? For if Abraham was justified by works, he has something to boast about, but not before God. For what does the Scripture say? Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, his wages are not counted as a gift, but as his due. And to the one who does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is counted as righteousness. Just as David also speaks of the blessing to the one to whom God counts righteousness apart from works. Blessed are those whose lawless deeds are forgiven and whose sins are covered. Blessed is the man against whom the Lord will not count his sin. Is this blessing then only for the circumcised or also for the uncircumcised? For we say that faith was counted to Abraham as righteousness. How then was it counted to him? Was it before or after he had been circumcised? It was not after, but before he was circumcised. He received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith while he was still uncircumcised. The purpose was to make him the father of all who believed without being circumcised, so that righteousness would be counted to them as well, and to make him the father of the circumcised, who are not merely circumcised, but who also walk in the footsteps of the faith that our father Abraham had before he was circumcised. This is the word of God. Now this morning, as I said earlier, I want to focus our attention on the subject of baptism in the providence of God at our 11 o'clock service. Today we are going to have a baptism. And I want to take that opportunity to consider the theological meaning of baptism and specifically how baptism is related to justification. Baptism and justification, they are linked to each other, but how are baptism and justification linked? Baptism is a sign and seal of justification. That's one way of putting it. It is a sign and seal of justification in the same way that circumcision in the Old Testament was a sign and seal of justification. Now, I'm taking that language from Romans chapter 4 and specifically verse 11. If you look there again at verse 11, Romans 4:11 says that Abraham, quote, received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. So Abraham was justified. He was justified by faith. He believed God and it was counted to him as righteousness, verse 3. Through faith in the promised Redeemer, Christ, the righteousness of Christ was imputed to Abraham. Abraham did not have a righteousness of his own that came from the law, but a righteousness from God that came through faith. Abraham was justified. He was counted righteous through faith in Christ, and he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. Verse 11. Now, that connection between circumcision and justification helps us to understand the meaning of baptism, because the link between circumcision and justification in the Old Testament is identical to the link between baptism and justification in the New Testament. Baptism is a sign and seal of justification. In our day, baptism has the same relation to justification that circumcision had to justification in Abraham's day. The sign of baptism is a seal of the righteousness that we have by faith in Christ. Like Abraham, we are justified by faith. We believe God, and it is counted to us as righteousness. Through faith in Christ, the righteousness of Christ himself is credited to us. It's imputed to us. We don't have a righteousness of our own that comes from the law, but one that comes from God through faith in Christ, as Paul puts it in Philippians 3:9. So we are justified. We are counted righteous. We are declared righteous by God through faith in Christ. And we receive from God the sign of baptism as a seal of that righteousness that we have by faith. Now, to fully appreciate this doctrine here, this connection between baptism and justification, there are two things that we need to recognize and keep in mind. First of all, the resurrection of Jesus is his justification. When God raised Jesus from the dead, God declared him to be righteous. The event of the resurrection itself is a de facto declaration of his righteousness. Now, that's the meaning of Paul's words in 1 Timothy 3:16, where Paul says that Christ was, quote, justified by the Spirit. Christ was justified by the Spirit. His resurrection by the Spirit was his justification. He was justified, he was counted righteous, he was declared righteous by his resurrection from the dead. So that's the first thing we need to recognize to understand the connection between baptism and justification. The second is this. Baptism is a sign that represents the justification of Jesus. Christ was justified by his resurrection, and baptism is a sign that represents his justification. The sign of baptism points to the death and resurrection of Jesus, and it represents his justification by means of his resurrection. Now, another way of putting it is that baptism points to the righteousness of Christ. Christ is righteous. He's perfectly righteous, and baptism points to the perfect righteousness of Christ. By his personal, perfect, exact, and entire obedience to God, which obedience was to the point of death, even death on a cross, the Lord Jesus Christ fulfilled all righteousness. And that's what baptism represents. It represents the fulfillment of all righteousness through the perfect obedience of Jesus Christ. And that's what Jesus said to John the Baptist when John the Baptist objected to Jesus being baptized by him. Now, you might remember this account. It's in Matthew chapter 3. Let me read to you Matthew 3, verses 13 through 17. Listen to these words. Then Jesus came from Galilee to the Jordan to John the Baptist, to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me? And Jesus answered him, let it be so now, for thus it is fitting for us to fulfill all righteousness. Then he consented. And when Jesus was baptized, immediately he went up from the water, and behold, the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and coming to rest on him. And behold, a voice from heaven said, this is my beloved Son, with whom I am well pleased. So Christ's baptism represents what? It represents his fulfillment of all righteousness by his perfect obedience to God, which obedience was an obedience to the point of death, even death on the cross. And because Christ fulfilled all righteousness, God declared him to be righteous by raising him from the dead. His resurrection is his justification. So what's the meaning of baptism? What does it signify? Well, it signifies the fulfillment of all righteousness by Jesus, the righteous one who was declared to be righteous by God when God raised him from the dead. Christ was obedient. He was always obedient. He was obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross, and it's for that reason that God justified him by raising him from the dead. In his resurrection, God declared of Jesus, this is my beloved Son with whom I am well pleased, and I am well pleased with him because he has fulfilled all righteousness. Now, that's what baptism signifies. It signifies the fulfillment of all righteousness by Christ, who in turn was declared to be righteous, justified, by his Father, who raised him from the dead. Now, let me return to the ordinance of circumcision here for just a few minutes, because I want to show you that in the Old Testament, circumcision signified the same thing. Circumcision signified the fulfillment of all righteousness by Jesus Christ through his obedience to the point of death, even death on a cross. Circumcision prefigured the crucifixion of Jesus. The removal of the foreskin of the flesh in circumcision symbolically represented the curse of the law. In other words, it symbolized God's wrath. It symbolized the judgment of God, the curse of God. It symbolized the judgment of God against sin. And Christ bore that judgment on the cross in the place of sinners. Christ bore our sins in his own body when he was nailed to the cross, and he therefore bore in his own body the judgment of God, the wrath of God, the curse of God against sinners. In his crucifixion, Jesus received the curse of the law, which in the Old Testament was symbolized by circumcision. Christ became a curse, is another way it's put in the New Testament. He became a curse for us to redeem us from the curse of the law, as it is written, "Cursed is everyone who is hanged on a tree," Galatians 3:13. And circumcision symbolized that curse. It symbolized the curse of the law, which is the curse that Jesus bore on the cross. So circumcision prefigured his death. It prefigured his crucifixion. The removal of the foreskin of the flesh in circumcision symbolized putting off the body of the flesh in the death of Christ on the cross. Now, that's exactly how Paul puts it in Colossians chapter 2. Let me read you a few verses here. This is Colossians 2, verses 11 through 14. Paul writes, "In Jesus also you were circumcised with a circumcision made without hands by putting off the body of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ, having been buried with him in baptism, in which you were also raised with him through faith in the powerful working of God who raised him from the dead. And you, who were dead in your trespasses and the uncircumcision of your flesh, God made alive together with him, having forgiven us all our trespasses, by canceling the record of debt that stood against us with its legal demands. This he set aside, nailing it to the cross." Now, there's a lot that could be said about that text, but I want to keep us focused on the main point here. The main point is that circumcision represents justification, and baptism represents justification. Circumcision is an Old Testament ordinance that represented justification. Baptism is the New Testament ordinance that represents justification. But whose justification do those ordinances represent? They represent the justification of Jesus himself, not our justification, but the justification of Christ. Christ was justified by the Spirit in his resurrection from the dead. By his personal, perfect, entire obedience to God, which obedience was to the point of death, even death on a cross, Jesus fulfilled all righteousness. And as a result, God justified him. God justified him by raising him from the dead. His resurrection is his justification. And both circumcision and baptism represent that. It represents his justification. So circumcision represented, another way of saying it is, circumcision represented the perfect obedience of Jesus by which he fulfilled all righteousness, on account of which he was justified. And baptism represents the same thing. It represents the perfect righteousness of Christ. Now let me explain to you what that means for us. What does it mean for us as Christians who've been baptized? If that's the meaning of baptism, then what significance does baptism have for us personally? Well, by baptism, we are identified with Christ, the justified one. In other words, we are identified with him as justified. We are identified with him in his justification. By baptism, we are identified with the one who, by his personal perfect obedience to God, fulfilled all righteousness and was declared righteous by God when God raised him from the dead. Baptism identifies us with the one who was obedient to the point of death. It identifies us with the one who was crucified, dead, and buried, and was raised from the dead and thereby justified by the Spirit. So baptism has the same meaning for us that circumcision had for Abraham. By circumcision, Abraham was identified with Christ as justified. God imputed the righteousness of Christ to Abraham, Abraham received that righteousness by faith, and Abraham received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith. Romans 4:11. Whose righteousness did Abraham have by faith? The righteousness of Jesus. He had the righteousness of Christ. So the sign of circumcision that Abraham received from God was a sign and seal of the righteousness of Christ. That's what I'm saying. And Abraham had that righteousness. He had that righteousness by faith. By circumcision, Abraham was identified with the righteous one, the Lord Jesus Christ, whose righteousness had been imputed to Abraham and which was received by Abraham through faith. And in the exact same way, by baptism, we are identified with the righteous one, Christ, whose righteousness we have received by faith. We receive the sign of baptism as a seal of the righteousness of Christ that we have by faith. Now, let me make two points of clarification here because I don't want us to get confused. And it is not uncommon for believers to get confused on these two particular points. First of all, Abraham was not justified by circumcision. That's Paul's whole point in Romans chapter 4. That's his main point. Abraham was not justified by circumcision. Abraham was justified by faith alone. And he received the sign of circumcision as a seal of the righteousness that he had by faith, and by faith alone, Romans 4:11. And likewise, we are not justified by baptism. Baptism doesn't justify us. We're not justified by baptism. We are justified in the exact same way that Abraham was justified, through faith in Christ alone. And we receive the sign of baptism as a seal of the righteousness that we have by faith alone. Baptism, then, is to us what circumcision was to Abraham. So that's the first point of clarification. We aren't justified by baptism any more than Abraham was justified by circumcision. The second point is this. It is not necessary for someone to have faith before receiving the sign of baptism any more than it was necessary for someone to have faith before receiving the sign of circumcision. Abraham had faith before he was circumcised, but his children were circumcised before they had faith. And in our day, an adult who converts to Christianity has faith before he is baptized, but his children may be baptized before they have faith. And they should be baptized because they are members of the covenant of grace just as much as the children of Abraham were members of the covenant of grace. So in the Old Testament, covenant membership determined who received the sign of circumcision. Abraham was circumcised, and so were his children, because God made a covenant with him and with his children. The children of Abraham were circumcised on the basis of their inclusion in the covenant of grace. And in the New Testament, covenant membership determines who receives the sign of baptism. And so believers are baptized together with their children because the children of believers are included in the covenant of grace, just as much as the children of Abraham were. That's the reason, of course, that we baptize infants in the Orthodox Presbyterian Church. Now, one writer, I think, summed up the argument pretty simply in the following way, and this is Benjamin Breckinridge Warfield, a Presbyterian theologian of the late 19th, early 20th century. B.B. Warfield said it this way: "The argument, in a nutshell, is simply this. God established his church in the days of Abraham and put children into it. They must remain there until God puts them out. He has nowhere put them out. They are still then members of his church, and as such, entitled to its ordinances. Among these ordinances is baptism, which stands in similar place in the New Testament to circumcision in the Old Testament, is likewise to be given to children. That's why we baptize the children of believers." Now, are our children justified by baptism? No, they're not justified by baptism any more than we are justified by baptism. And we're not justified by baptism any more than Abraham was justified by circumcision. By baptism, however, we are identified with the Lord Jesus Christ as justified, the righteous one. How so? Baptism makes us members of the body of Christ, and that's how it identifies us with Christ. Whether we possess the righteousness of Christ or not through faith is not determined by our baptism, nor is it even represented by our baptism. Baptism represents our union to the Lord Jesus Christ as justified in the sense that it unites us to his visible body, the church. But not every member of the church has faith, whether they're children or adults. That is true today, it was true in Abraham's day, and it will be true until Jesus comes. But every member of the church has been identified with Christ because they've been set apart from the world and identified with the covenant people of God. They bear the name of Christ because they've been baptized in his name. And that covenant membership places on us and on our children privileges and also obligations. If we bear the name of Christ, and we do, if we've been baptized into his name, then we must live as his people. If we are baptized into Christ, then we must live like those who are identified with the righteous one, the one who has been raised and thereby justified by God. We can't live like the world if we've been baptized into Christ, because we've been identified with him. We've been joined to his visible body, the church. So that's the obligation, you see, that baptism places on us. It gives us privileges, it makes us members of the visible church, but it also places on us an obligation to live as those who are identified with Christ, because we bear the name of Christ. Christ has placed his name on us. And so, friends of God, I hope that helps us to understand the theological meaning and significance of baptism.